Welcome to the Balanced Bites podcast with Diane Sanfilippo and Liz Wolf. Diane is a certified nutrition consultant and the New York Times bestselling author of Practical Paleo, the 21-Day Sugar Detox, and co-author of Mediterranean Paleo Cooking. Liz is a nutritional therapy practitioner and the best-selling author of Eat the Yolks and the Purely Primal Skincare Guide. Together, Diane and Liz answer your questions, interview leading health and wellness experts, and share their take on modern paleo living with their friendly and balanced approach. Remember our disclaimer, the materials and content within this podcast are intended as general information only and are not to be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 182 of the Balanced Bites podcast. Diane here. I'm definitely going through some withdrawal. My podcasting co-host partner has been on maternity leave for a little while now, and it's going to be a little while longer. I definitely can't pressure her into coming back too quickly while she's percolating and birthing a new person. So we'll just keep good thoughts for Liz and hope that she does really awesomely, and I'll be talking to her pretty soon. So there's that. And let's check in with our sponsors.
Support for this podcast is provided by Dragonfly Traditions, natural, nourishing skincare with absolutely no unnecessary chemicals. It's natural nutrition for the skin. I am a huge fan of Dragonfly, from their serum to their night cream and everything else the owner Phoebe has created. Your skin will be soft and happy with Dragonfly Traditions. If you head over to dragonflytraditions.com and make a purchase of one or more of their skincare products, you can then add Balanced Bites to your shopping cart for one penny. Phoebe will then not only send you two free lip balms with your order, she'll also send you that penny back. Remember, that's two free lip balms with purchase from Dragonfly Traditions.
All right, so before we get into today's episode, I have a few updates that are pretty important. The first one, which is probably the most important, is if you're listening to this episode around the air date and not from the archives, well, I have two important things about that. But the first one is that we're actually moving the hosting of this podcast in the next week or two. So you'll need to go into iTunes and resubscribe to make sure that you don't miss any new episodes. And the reason for this is that our previous host has recently started putting ads into the show that are not approved by us. And, you know, it's a paid service. We pay for hosting there. I don't know if it's just something that's been in their contract for forever and they just recently started to do it, but it's not cool with us. A bunch of you guys have complained or even sent us a note like, hey, if you guys need money, you know, we can send money for the podcast. I'll pay for it. I was like, no, we have amazing sponsors. We love our sponsors. We've handpicked them. We cherish them. And we don't want their messages to be diluted by these other sponsors that have just randomly been attached to our show. One recently that I heard that was some kind of fat loss supplement or something like that, which is totally not from us. Anything that's a sponsor that we have approved and have brought on board, you'll hear it within our show, not tacked on to the beginning or the end. And so anyway, all that to say, definitely jump into iTunes and resubscribe in the next couple of weeks. I will post about it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere on social media. I'll also be sending an email out. So if you're on my emailing list, I'll remind you a few times in there. But it's just going to be a big issue if you know, you're subscribed now and then you expect it to update and we've moved the hosting. It's going to change where the show comes from. So even though you'll still be able to find it in iTunes under the same name, it's just going to be a little bit different. So just wanted to give you guys all the heads up about that because it is going to be a big shift in where the show is coming from. So you do need to resubscribe to iTunes. All right, a couple of other updates. If you didn't hear, just a quick one, that the tour that was supposed to be coming up, kicking off tomorrow, if you're listening live, that will kick off, was supposed to kick off on Friday the 13th of March. We're not actually doing that tour. It was a Make It Paleo 2 tour. And Haley, unfortunately, my good friend, is pretty sick right now and just trying to take care of herself. So I know, of course, we all want to practice what we preach and we try so hard to work on these books. And sometimes, you know, everybody handles stress differently, and sometimes the physical burden of it is harder for some than others. And, you know, she's just trying to take good care of herself and really just set the example. And it's unfortunate, and we really wanted to meet all of you guys, but We'll see if we can get something scheduled in the future, but you will be able to meet at least myself and my guest today, who I'll introduce in just another minute, at PaleoFX in Austin, Texas, and that's going to be April 24th to the 26th, right before my birthday, so I'm really excited about that, and I'll be talking about business stuff at this year's PaleoFX, which I'm actually super excited about. And so if you've got a business, you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a trainer, a nutritionist, or you have some kind of paleo-based business or any other, you know, nutrition and health-related business that you've got questions about how to get started and how to kind of make it go and how to make it grow, then definitely check out my talk. I don't know what day it's going to be on yet, but you can stay tuned to information on PaleoFX for that. And I'm also going to be on at least one other panel. I think it's at the very end of the event on Sunday, which it's like a women's health panel, which I did last year as well, which is super fun, very well attended, really nice way to close out the event. I just love that talk. And last but not least, if you've been interested in my 21 Day Surety Talks Coaches Program, I want to give you a quick heads up that we do have a Facebook group for anybody who's interested in it. The one group that we have is anybody can join. We do have a group after folks become certified that's private and closed only to those who've been certified through the program. But I'll be opening up enrollment again for that at the beginning of April. It's only going to be open for about 2 weeks and then it'll close again until the fall. And so I want to make sure that you all are ready for it when it comes. If you, you know, have any budgeting concerns and you need to kind of plan ahead a little bit, I just want everyone to be aware that that's coming and that it'll only be open for those 2 weeks. So if it's something you're interested in, definitely look out for that and join us in the Facebook group. All right, so today's guest I would love to introduce, and if you have been listening to the show for a long time, you've definitely heard a previous interview with her, but wanted to bring her back on again today, not only because she's just awesome and fun to talk to about fitness and all that good stuff, and she has probably the most amazing bangs in the entire fitness industry, so, you know, it's like high on my list of priorities of who I want to talk to. But she's also got an amazing new program coming out. So Jen Sinclair is a longtime fitness writer for national magazines such as Women's Health and Men's Health, which is actually how Jen and I first met. She interviewed me for a magazine article. She's a fitness enthusiast and fitness eclectic, I would say. She's a former member of the U.S. National Rugby Women's Rugby Team, and she currently trains clients at the Movement Minneapolis. Jen talks fitness, food, happy life, and general health topics at her website, jensinclair.com, and she just authored her conditioning resource sequel, Lift Weights Faster 2. And Jen, yes, you're there. You're already laughing at me.
I love the bangs talk. I feel like that's how that was our breakthrough moment in our friendship, was the bonding over bangs. I remember taking a selfie of my bangs and discussing exactly how to cut them so that your eyebrows don't split them, because the splitting of the bangs, that's what it's a real deal breaker for people.
It's a big problem. And yeah. I think you also told me that they needed to be thicker when I had them because they weren't laying down. But guess what? I've been like, forget the bangs. I can't handle it.
Your hair always looks great. So bangs, no bangs, doesn't really matter. If you do the bangs thing, though, this is the thing that nobody knows. And like, I take this information with me. You have to cut them in an M shape, which sounds so weird.
So weird.
But you've got to have long on the edges and then shorter above the eyebrows and then long in the middle again.
Okay. All right.
I think I'm pretty sure I made that up because I take that to different hairstylists and I'm like, can you please cut them in an M? Because that's how you keep them from splitting. Otherwise, your expressive eyebrows split them right down the... right above your eyes.
That's true. And that is a very annoying thing. And
I'm glad we're talking about this. This is good.
I feel like one day I'm going to cut them again.
Yeah.
Because I literally think I have, and I'm overusing literally already, but I really think that I have bangs amnesia. It's like I forget how annoyed I got by them.
Everyone
and then
knows.
Like, oh, that would be so cute. And then I could just like cover any, you know, aging that's happening in my forehead or anywhere.
Completely natural Botox. I have a friend, Yvonne Ward, who she posted on Facebook a few months ago, like, I couldn't resist the siren song of the bangs, and, you know, regret will set in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah,
that's the way it goes. Unless you cut the M shape, I'm telling you.
All right. Well, so if I ever dive into the bangs pool again, I'll
you will.
Go for the M shape. So let's talk about all things fitness. I know we talked about a whole bunch of stuff with the first podcast that we did together. And if folks want to get a little bit more background on you, definitely go back. I feel like it was episode 132 because I had to go grab a link recently. Okay. So if you're listening and you want to find out who the heck is this Jen Sinclair chick, instead of spending 10 minutes on her bio today, I think what we'll do is just jump into questions because we have so many and I would love to get them answered. And so you guys can all go back and listen to episode 132 and learn more about Jen if you haven't. So let's just dive in. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Awesome. So we have a lot of questions on fitness for beginners, and just like super quick context for people who are listening, Jen is not like a one size fits all kind of person. She doesn't just train people in CrossFit or just in this, that, or the other. It's kind of a broad spectrum. So she's got a very broad perspective as well. You know, let's talk a little bit about fitness for beginners. You know, what do you do with people? How can people get started? And I would say, too, just to give that a little bit of context with the current landscape of what's, you know, popular. Obviously, CrossFit's really popular, but what's out there that people could get into that you think is a great way to start?
Well, the reason that I am, as you said, a fitness eclectic is that I think that there are a lot of different entry points that get you toward the same, you know, positive body change, same goal, same like feeling of ease in your body, building muscle, et cetera, et cetera. The things that people are after, whether you call it toning or whether you call it, you know, getting fit, you know, whatever your lingo is. But some people's entry point is going to be kettlebell training. Some people's entry point is going to be calisthenics. Some people's entry point is going to be CrossFit, and so on and so on and so on. Olympic lifting, and anything else you can name. I think the general idea for beginners is you want to improve posture, you want to build bone and muscle density, you want to, many people want to improve their body composition. That's not something that I always assume. Like, I'm not going to assume that every person wants to lose fat. Some people just want to maintain, some people just want to feel better. But broad strokes, you want your exercise program to make you feel better. You want to seek help getting the basics right. And honestly, strength training, some sort of strength training, and all of my certifications are under some sort of strength umbrella. I think that those are the activities that are going to be the most bang for your buck in terms of fitness activities. You're going to change your body shape. You're going to change your hormones. You're going to burn fat. You're going to build your capacity to eat more calories. Like, that's a big thing too, right?
That's that's the only reason I work out. Let's be honest.
I mean, yeah, you got to feed that muscle. You get just blow you away results with strength training. So that's the first thing. That's the sort of tenet number one is find some sort of entry point in the strength training umbrella. That's my best advice. Once you get there, like, focus on big multi-joint movements and use these six categories of movements. Like, a lot of people, you know, like, you don't know where to start because you're brand new. You're like, well, I guess I'll do some bicep curls. And that's a single joint exercise. Whereas if you're doing a squat, you're involving, you know, ankles, knees, hips, and so on. You're involving so many muscles in your body. These are the categories of movements too. Like, we don't think often when we're early in our fitness journey, we don't think about balancing out our fitness program. And I look to these categories. Number one, some sort of explosive movement. That can be like swings or jump squats or even just hops across a line, something explosive. That's a quality that we lose as we age very often. Like, we stop, you know, sprinting. We stop doing things that are dynamic and ballistic. And I think that's an important quality to maintain or to reattain, like that power. I mean, that can help you, number one, like, develop type 2 muscles, which tend to be the ones that look more toned and shaped, which is, again, I'm just using the lexicon of the current fitness landscape on that. You also, when you're more powerful, you're quicker, you can save yourself from a fall. Like, say you trip, you know, trip on the street. Like, if you're doing more ballistic exercises, you're going to be able to right yourself more quickly. So explosive, that's one category for beginners. Also include upper body push movements, and whether that be overhead or horizontal, so like push-ups or overhead press, if you can do that, bottoms up press is a good one for beginners, because your shoulders, it's a good way to figure out if your shoulders are happy with overhead pressing. Upper body pulls, like some sort of row variation or pull-up variation. I have a video e-course that launched this week that gave two of my favorite I call them pregressions, or we call them pregressions at my gym with my husband, the Movement Minneapolis, because one of our members is like, I don't want to do a regression. This is a total side note, but she's like, I don't want, that sounds bad. And so we started calling them pregressions, and now everyone is happy. So anyway, box pull-ups, like box assisted pull-ups, I like a little bit more than band assisted pull-ups, because the bands abandon you, pun intended, when you need them the most. Like right in the middle, all of a sudden they aren't helping you, you know, finish the range of motion. Whereas if you're doing a box assisted push-up or pull-up, sorry, and you've got a foot on your on a really tall box and you can just give yourself a nudge through your sticking points, I really like that variation. And I really like jumping pull-ups. So anyway, upper body pull, that's a category. Then lower body pull, which is all things hingy and deadlifty, like kettlebell swings, again, like can cross a category of explosive and lower body pull, all deadlift variations or pulls. And then you've got lower body push as a category. So that's like anything more knee dominant, like squats. This is lower body pulls or hip dominant. That's sort of an interchangeable term. Lower body push is knee dominant. So all squat motions are push. And then last but not least, you've got this sort of catch-all core category that involves rotation, anti-rotation, and carries. Like I love farmers carries for preventing back pain, preventing or alleviating back pain actually, because they liven up your lumbar stabilizing muscles.
That's awesome. So if you've got people, I think the only one that we really don't do a lot of, you know, I'm just going to touch on some CrossFit stuff a little bit, mm-hmm. because that's what I've been doing for a long time, but kind of like you, I'm a bit of a fitness eclectic. Like mm-hmm. I don't come from CrossFit, you know, I come right. from the depths of other gyms. Like yep. I was gym girl for a long time, probably had every gym membership and did every type of training and workout. And I've done it all, except I have never taken a Zumba class, but
I haven't. That's like my one thing I haven't
I feel
done
like
yet.
We should do that together.
Oh my God,
one
let's
day.
Do that in Austin.
Oh my gosh. I don't know that that's going to happen in Austin, but one day okay. it should fine. Happen. But I think, you know, the one thing that we really don't do a lot of is rotation and anti-rotation. And yeah. that's something that I'm a huge fan of too. Like I went and just did a workout on my own today and was using a cable machine, and I like to twist because mm-hmm. I feel like I haven't been doing it for so long. Yeah. And I love that too. And I love the carries. And I think for people who, you know, I am not, as much as I've been in the fitness world as kind of a consumer for a long time, I'm not a fitness expert in terms of, you know, being a trainer, being able to educate and teach people a lot about it. But I think if people are getting started and they want to work out on their own, like that's mm-hmm. where a lot of the stuff that you create is, that's exactly what it's for. Somebody who, you know, maybe they do go to a gym also with a coach or a trainer or whatever, but if they've got a couple of days a week or even one day a week where they need to figure out something on their own, the same way, you know, I write meal plans and I, you know, I don't use them myself, but if somebody made a workout for me or if I need a workout, I can look into stuff that you've written and be like, okay, what should I do? And I don't have to question if I'm putting together some of those six categories properly because I know mm-hmm. that you're already planning it that way. So I feel like that's such a nice thing for beginners to hear those categories. And if they know what to do with it, great. But if they don't know what to do with it,
yep.
I love that that's kind of the way that you put things together and, you know, just makes it really easy. It's kind of like, it's like the macronutrients of movement.
It is. It is exactly that. And a couple things to build on this, you want to make sure that your basics are solid and you want to find, even if you're not going to work one-on-one with a personal trainer, which can be really expensive, or join a gym, which I totally think everyone should do for the community and accountability piece. There are ways to do everything online if that's what you need to do and want to do. If you're trying to do it on the cheap or save some dollars on that, then you can, there are ways to do that. You can access like continuity sites for more information. There are some of the more advanced ones would be like Juggernaut Training Systems or strengthcoach.com. But you can also buy more, I guess, more beginner friendly programs, and Lift Weights Faster 2. That is one of those programs. Like I have, you know, 30 instructional videos on some of the more complicated lifts so that your form, and that's like one of the things that people really have liked about the program. And that's the feedback I get. Like, thank you. I feel like my form is like totally banging now, and which is, that's what I, you know, like that's the goal, is I want people to feel safe in learning the exercises and gain that confidence to be like, yeah, I know what I'm doing here. And Lift Weights Faster also, and other programs like, say, Negar Fanouni's Lean and Lovely, it's going to map out your plan for you. That's one thing that, you know, I would say to beginners too. Like, you go in the gym and you're like, oh, I don't know what, you know, again, like, you're like, I guess I'll do some bicep curls because that's the only thing that occurs to you. But if you have a plan and you've got a way to learn to do the movements in the program, you're so much better off. Like, you've got this balanced, periodized program, and you're well on your way to body change and strength building and all of the things that you're after.
Awesome. So let's talk about powerlifting. This is something that a lot of people asked about. How can people get into it? What should they know? And maybe a little bit on just preventing injury and not kind of getting too crazy with it.
Powerlifting is something I got into last summer, sort of entirely by accident. I mean, I got hooked on it by accident. I didn't accidentally enter a powerlifting meet.
I filled out a form. I don't know what it was for.
I mean, that is how I entered a 5-mile race once. I thought I was entering a 5K. I think we talked about that on the last podcast. Like, so my attention to detail sometimes is lacking. Yeah. But powerlifting. So I had entered a strongman competition. I think it was in June or July, because I have a friend, and I've told this story before, but she's one of my old rugby friends, and she thinks that endurance training, she equates endurance training with fitness. And so she would constantly, after we retired from rugby, be like, let's enter a triathlon, let's enter a half marathon, let's enter a marathon. And I was like, Pam, I'm never going to do those things with you, ever, ever. And she's like, well, what can we do? And so I was like, how about you come learn to lift? And she's so good at it. Like, she really took to it like a duck to water. Her body feels so much better too. These activities that she said that she loved were, you know, really hard on her body. Like, it didn't, like, that's not what was best for her, but she's really like been excellent at lifting. We entered a strongman contest. She was awesome at it. And then she was like, well, so what should we do next? And so we decided, as a lifting buddy group, like, powerlifting would be next. And so we Googled a local meet, and we all entered it. And I didn't really think that I would like it that much, because it's three movements. It's squat, bench, and deadlift. And I just thought it didn't seem terribly tactical or engaging in the way that, you know, a lot of sports usually are. But it's so much more those things than I ever anticipated. It helps, of course, that I've got this longtime rival / really good friend named Halvo, who we basically just try to beat each other in every powerlifting meet. And now we've entered, I think, three together. I've entered four total. I was so hooked that I was entering them 2 months apart for the past 6 months. And now I've sworn them off till at least late summer and probably nationals in October. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's been another way we've started this whole thing at Movement Minneapolis, where, like, now all of our gym members are entering the meets too. It's a way of setting goals, especially for women that focus on what they can do rather than what they can look like. Because what you can look like is not super motivating over the long term. Like, it just isn't. Like, it's not engaging. It doesn't get you to the gym. Like, you're like, I want to get skinnier today. I'm going to go to the gym. I can't wait to get skinnier. Like, no, that's not exciting at all. But, like, trying to work toward performance-based goals, like a double bodyweight deadlift or something like that, that's engaging. Like, that gets people to the gym, you know, over and over and over. So we've started this whole movement, pun intended, at the movement. We've started a powerlifting team, and most of our team, you know, by and large, we had 17 lifters, and 14 of them were women at this past meet.
Wow.
Like, it's awesome.
So it's to get into it, you really just kind of have to sign up for something and just be like, okay, I'm doing this. So then what do people need to know maybe about shifting up their training, or, you know, kind of just little details that maybe you wouldn't have thought of?
Again, your program is a really good starting point. Like, I mean, you want to have a good program to be your basis. And then from there, we make tweaks. Like, you know that we're very big on letting every person do variations that are good for them on a given day. So you might come in and it's squat day, but front squats might test better based on our biofeedback test than back squats do. And so we let our members, and we encourage our members to roll with that. We find that that helps prevent overuse injuries. And because that's the trick when you're training for powerlifting, like you can feel a little tweaky when you're focusing on these big three lifts. Like it's important to incorporate enough variation that you don't end up breaking down. And we use, like, so to periodize our programs and to include that kind of variation, we use an intuitive training protocol to sort of prevent injury, keep the body feeling good. But also it's important to just take breaks too.
We'd like to thank Vital Choice for supporting our podcast today, and we encourage you to visit their online store at vitalchoice.com. You'll find an amazing array of some of the world's best seafood, including wild Alaskan salmon, halibut, tuna, and cod, as well as sustainably harvested shellfish. These foods are not only delicious, but vital choices for your health. You'll also find grass-fed organic Wagyu beef, live fermented foods to promote gut health, wild organic blueberries, and dark organic chocolates. Eat better, think better, and feel better with deeply nourishing foods from Vital Choice. They're offering our listeners 15% off any order using code BALANCEDBITES. Remember that orders of $99 or more ship free.
So what is intuitive training? How does somebody do it? And then I know that we had a question also about rest, and you just said it's important to take breaks. So let's just kind of touch on what intuitive training is. I think you mentioned it also in the previous interview, but I think people would be curious to hear more about that. And then what you really think about rest and how much rest people need or recovery and all that.
We did definitely talk about it in the last one, but it's one of those things that repeated touches is a good thing because it's a little like, what are you talking about? We use range of motion testing, which is a cousin of applied kinesiology, to determine which lifts, which exact variations all of our clients and ourselves do on any given day. So our programs are written in a different way than most gyms' programs. Like our members come into the gym and there is a workout on the whiteboard, just like there is at CrossFit. But instead of saying back squat, it's going to say back squat, front squat, Zercher squat, or something like that. There are going to be different variations. So we have to put options in for every movement category that we talked about earlier. So I'm just going to explain like the operational logistics of how to test, and we'll start there. You come in, you test your base range of motion, and then you do a couple reps of each of these variations, and you retest your range of motion after you've done each of the exercises. And whichever one increases your range of motion the most, that's the one you're going to do that day, which sounds, you know, totally out there. I get that. And it was out there. It was hard for me to believe at first too, but this is the kind of training that got me out of pain. Like I saw it myself. I see it with our clients all the time. It's essentially a way of your body to red light or green light any movement on any given day. It's a way for your body to communicate the things that, you know, that we already know intuitively, like this feels good. This is good for me today. Cause like everybody's had those workouts that you leave and you're like, I feel worse. I feel worse. I feel bad. Like that was so hard and shit. You know, I don't think I should say that word. Poopy today. But this is a way of leaving your workouts and being like, I feel better. Like that's our main goal. Whether somebody's goal is powerlifting or just, you know, general health, like every single workout, we want them to leave feeling better. And to roll into the rest day question, the answer to this one is it depends. And I know that's a frustrating answer to get, but it really does. It depends on your life stresses. It depends on how you're eating, how you're sleeping. Everything, you know, is cumulative. So you can't come in and say like, okay, I know that I'm supposed to hit it today. Cause if you slept like crap and you ate like crap, that might not be the plan for your body that day. We have in the past sent members on a walk, like, okay, we'll see, you know, we'll see you in an hour because that's what they need that day. They need to chill. They need to take a stroll. They need to, you know, breathe some fresh air. They don't need to, you know, hammer themselves in the gym.
I think that's awesome. I've told the story a few times about when I was running Balanced Bites was a meal business years ago. Mm-hmm. And I actually just posted to Instagram today. We got some meals from a local company doing that. It freaks me out and kind of takes me back when I put the little containers in the fridge. I'm like, I did this like 7-8 years ago. It's so crazy. I'm like, what was I doing? What was I thinking that I could, you know, have that business and like grow it and do all the things that you need to do. I mean, I got it started, but man, I was just getting crushed energy wise doing it. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my point that I would cook meals 2 days a week, and it was like a super intense 6 to 8 hour shift of cooking and just like against the clock, adrenaline pumping, mm-hmm. literally the adrenaline. I could feel my heart rate. I felt like it was just high the whole time I was in the kitchen, as if I was, you know, jogging on a treadmill. I mean, that's how I felt like I was doing that for 6 hours or 8 hours at a time. And so, I would go into the gym the next day, and I was working with my friend, now friend and, you know, then friend and trainer, Dave Engen in San Francisco. And he was like, dude, what's going on? You would just see it on my face, which I'm sure you can tell with your clients when they come in. Like, you just know these people so well. And we were not working out that day. You know, it was like, and that was even with a one-on-one session. He's like, all right, we're going to do a guided meditation today. And
that's That's such a good trainer. Like, that's so rare.
I miss that. But it was cool that, you know, I went in and I was laid down on a mat in a room that was, you know, quiet yoga room or something. And just kind of, he just did like this talk, whatever. I don't know. He was just talking about walking through a forest. I have no idea. He's a really cool guy. He's got a lot of stuff going on. But it was really neat. And that's the kind of thing that I talk to people about a lot too, because I mean, I ebb and flow with how intensely I can train and how often I get to the gym. And then sometimes I just need to like kind of take it easy and get in and be consistent that I show up and do something, but not always have to go super hard. And I think that that's something, I don't know if we have that in one of the questions. We have a huge list of questions here.
No, we do. And I like the paleo meals thing and they can come in handy. Like I thought about, it's funny you mentioned the stress and the exhilaration of trying to get everything done right before deadline. And I said I'm right in the middle of the Lift Weights Faster 2 launch. And I said I would learn all these lessons from the first one. And I didn't. Like, there's something about this process that's serving me clearly to wait on the marketing pieces until it's almost too late. And then like hurry, hurry, rush, rush, and get everything done. Like the workouts that, you know, like those are the workouts that we use in the gym and that, you know, like they're tests. It's not the content piece that's the hurry, hurry, rush, rush, but it's the marketing. And I thought about ordering paleo meals for this week for the team, because last year we ate cookies and ice cream and within our staff, we called it get fatter faster instead of lift weights faster, because that's all we could manage at that point. Like we cut out exercise and this, you know, for the time being, this year is better. It is better than it was last year, but it's still like I've dramatically reduced my exercise program, because I think that when your life stress is super high, your workout stress needs to be super low. And that's just, otherwise you're going to flame out spectacularly.
That's true. And so we did have a question about how to exercise when we're recovering from adrenal fatigue. And this kind of touches on the same thing, whether you are coming through a time of just some massive fatigue where you're like, I don't even know how to get started because I feel like I have no energy and I just want to sit on the couch, or anything I go to do, you know, makes you feel worse. Like that's kind of what you were saying. And I definitely went through, I've gone through a few different periods in my life where I've just been super stressed out work wise. And it's one of those things, like, it's not necessarily just the work of it. It's not, oh, well, why didn't you do it sooner and not leave it to the last minute? It's not even that. It's the mental stress that, you know, this thing is now going to be out there for thousands of people. So it's like not even the work. It's just like, shoot, if there's a typo, that
you want it to be good,
is printed. Yeah. And you want it to be good and you want people to love it. And so it's not even the work itself. It's like the personal pressure and stress of it. And I don't know any other way to alleviate it, but we have people who are dealing with that kind of thing. We have people who are dealing with tons of people who listen to this show, you know, autoimmune conditions, and they've had a flare, whether it's Hashimoto's or something else, something went on and they're just like, I need to get started again. They don't know what to do. One of the things that I always tell people, even though I'm, you know, not a fitness professional, but I'm,
you know a lot of stuff.
I do a lot of this stuff. So I speak from experience, but I know how it works with nutrition. Just because you eat doesn't make you an expert on nutrition. It can make you an expert on what you eat. So I'm an expert on how I train, but one of the things that I have always had to focus on, and then I definitely want to hear, you know, your approach to this and what you do for yourself and for your clients, which you've just touched on anyway, But I try to do work that will not put me in that adrenaline mode where, you know, you just feel your heart pumping for a long period of time. And for a long period of time means like a minute or more. I don't even mean, you know, it can be a few seconds where you just hit that point and you're like, okay, let me, you know, cycle that intensity. And that doesn't necessarily mean high intensity interval training, because that's a very high heart rate for a short amount of time relative to what other types of training are, but it's still too long for you. So when you're dealing with adrenal fatigue, it's kind of like your body has been living in that adrenaline state for too long somehow. And it's that stress mode, you know, you've put your stress capacity up to 100%, and anything you do that's pushing it higher, you're just going to push yourself over capacity, and it's not going to help you get stronger or recover. So that's kind of the way that I will approach it. And I tell people, you know, don't be lifting to 90 to 100% of what you can, take it down. And I think personally, just being consistent, like this is what I'm doing for myself right now. Like I've been kind of out of it for a couple of months because I'm traveling a lot and I'm just not consistent. I just have to be consistent. I just have to get in there as many days as I can. And if it's, like you said, if I end up walking or end up doing something, I just have to make sure I make time for the movement and the results will come. You know, it's like with paleo, you don't have to be 100% strict all the time, but you just have to be really consistent. So how do you approach that?
Consistency is absolutely the root of all fitness success. I absolutely agree with that. As far as adrenal fatigue goes, I love, love, love what Jade Tita, he's a naturopath and the founder of Metabolic Effect in North Carolina. I love what he says about this. And I've interviewed him on this topic. So I'm going to synopsize what he told me for your listeners. So he says, you know, like very long duration exercise can further disrupt and worsen the condition. It can reflare it. Because you need to essentially retrain both the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system, because you have taught yourself that it's never okay to chill. So now you've got to teach yourself to chill. And what he likes, really short bursts of high intensity exercise and then complete recovery between them. So that you're essentially teaching yourself like, okay, it's go time and now it's rest time. And I think that that's really valuable. And like that's a way I hadn't thought of it before.
That's really interesting. I think if I leave myself to my own devices, which is, I think we can talk about the question about group fitness and how all that works next, because it's kind of on the heels of this other topic. If I leave myself to my own devices, that's kind of how I'll train right now. If I just show up at a gym and nobody's told me what I should do, I'll go in. I mean, what I just did today was like that. It was kind of little bursts of energy, and then I just kind of stand there after my breath.
That's perfect.
Or I sit there.
Well, that's that intuition piece, right?
It's so funny because years and years ago, I used to watch people at the gym and be like, what is that person doing just standing around? And now I'm that girl who's just standing there. I'm like, I got my earplugs in. Nobody talked to me. I'm just chilling out between the lifts. And that really, I feel like that helps a lot. It's a really big, important piece for people to remember that, you know, you can still get work done and still achieve new levels of fitness while you're recovering a little bit. But I'm with you too on the whole strength training thing. I think if you like to do cardio kickboxing or a Zumba or something, that's, what is that considered, calisthenics or just aerobics? Or
I think we can categorize that under the aerobics category.
Okay, so aerobics, that can be great for fun and it can be great for cardiovascular fitness. Like I went in and took cardio kickboxing. I was like, wow, this used to be a lot easier and I hadn't done it in a long time. It wasn't so bad. I did all right. I kept up with it. But it was like, I could definitely not do that every day given the state of my stress levels, you know, and it really pushes the stress level, pushes the intensity to the 60 to 70, 80% ish for the whole time instead of that, you know, 80 to 90 for very short and then come back down. So I love that. I think that's a really, it's a great way to look at things. So
it's all about balancing the pieces of your life, right? Like if you have hobbies, my husband skydives and when we first started dating, he asked me to go skydiving with him and I went and it was like a year into our dating or something. But I was just about to leave my job, or had just left my job at Experience Life magazine as their fitness editor. And so I was just like working for myself for the very first time, work, you know, which is a stressful situation. Like you're mm-hmm. like, am I making a mess here? Like it's fun. It's awesome. Like there's lots of work to do, but you don't know when to stop. And like, I think being an entrepreneur is a really interesting, it's an interesting choice, and it changes the whole trajectory of your life. And I think that for a lot of us, it means that our hobbies need to balance that out and need to be more chill. So skydiving was not the right choice for me. I was terrified like throughout the whole class. And then it was too windy. So then I had to wait a week to do my skydive. And this is like, you go through this class so that you can jump by yourself, by the way. So there was this added element of like, I don't think I should be in charge of this canopy, of driving the canopy. That like, it was the landing that was really freaking me out. So then there was a whole extra week of anticipation and by the time I'd actually, and the skydive itself was really enjoyable. Like, and it was, it was not that bad, like, and I landed it and it was fine. But then I said, like, I was, there's that relief, but I don't need to do that over and over. Like, I don't need a hobby that terrifies me.
Yeah.
So that's my spiel on fine balance.
Yeah. Sometimes as an entrepreneur, the unfortunate side is that your hobby ends up becoming the thing that you're now using to earn money.
Yeah.
And like for me, cooking is totally a hobby and I love it. Like if someone said, if you just were going to wake up and like, what would you do and would be super fun? Like I would cook and then I would go to the gym. And I'll probably go shopping and get my nails done.
Yes.
Pretty good much. Day. And I love all of the tech stuff that we do with, the business and all this stuff. But like, if I'm just going to pick what I'm going to do, I'm super relaxed just cooking and tasting it and feeding people. But then add on top of that, taking a picture against, daylight hours running out and making sure the food still looks good and it's hot when you want to eat it. And writing down the recipe and all of that, like, I'm not complaining. I'm so fortunate to have this work, but
yes,
that now turns something that I love into something that puts me into the adrenaline state again, where I'm like, stressed out doing it. So it's a really tough call to balance all of that. But yeah, with your training, it's really important to not just crush that adrenaline all the time. And so a couple of questions that we have here. One is about, group classes that are strength or, weightlifting classes, is it okay to do that stuff in a group? Like, how do you think people should look at that? And then I think we can kind of roll that into some questions just around CrossFit, because I know it's kind of the biggest thing that people have questions about too. If we're picking one track of fitness that people who listen to our show are pretty mm-hmm. into.
I saw that question, and it's something along the lines of like, are group classes that focus on weightlifting, are they a good option?
Yeah.
And the answer is hell yeah. Like the best results of my life personally started when I began at a gym called Urban Athlete with Jason C. Brown and Pamela McElry when I lived in Philadelphia. And from there I transitioned to CrossFit. And then from there I transitioned to Movement Minneapolis, and now I'm still working out with a group of people, my fitness buddies, which is like a class, but that the accountability and the community that's involved when you're working out in a group is huge. I mean, like the people who are saying like, hey, why I didn't see you on Monday? Yeah. Where were you? Like, that's like, you start looking forward to your workouts in a way that you're like, I'm going to go hang out with my friends now. Like that becomes a social activity. So group fitness classes and group fitness classes that focus on weightlifting in particular, lifting weights, that's the best of all possible worlds. You're going to, build muscle. You're going to do extremely useful exercise, like very useful exercise in a very short period of time. Like the classes are usually an hour long.
I think one of the things that people are curious about when it comes to something like CrossFit, it's like, is it safe or effective to lift weights when you're in a group and, somebody can't be watching you specifically all the time. And I think that's something that, is kind of on a case by case basis with different gyms. Like you have to just get a feel for it. Just because there's a lot of people and only a couple of trainers doesn't mean that they're not able to watch you. Some of them are great at it. Some of them aren't as great at it. Sometimes it's one coach and 30 or more people, and that might not be great. I know that that's, typically at our gym, it's like if there's 20 to 25 or I think we max out at 25 in a class, but there's always at least two coaches there, one main one and an assistant, and they're walking around. And that way, if there's anybody really new, they can also get a little bit of extra attention because they need it. You know, they're not, even if they've gone through, you know, the essentials and they've kind of learned the basics that way for a couple of weeks, they're still, you know, people still can't remember what a snatch or a clean and jerk is. I remember those days when I first went to CrossFit and I was like, shoot, which one is that again? And now it seems so funny that you're like, really? They're so different. But when everybody you're new, you yeah, just are like,
it's overwhelming.
It doesn't make any sense at first, you know, but anyway.
It doesn't. And the new people inevitably get a little more attention than the ones who, you know, are old hat. But you need a little less attention when you're getting in the groove. Like, you're getting a bunch of work done. Like, it can be as simple as a cue as like, you know, Sarah, keep your chest up. And then I'm done coaching that person. I don't personally like to see ratios of more than 10 to 1. Like, I want there to be at least one coach for every 10 people in a class. Like, that's sort of my earmark. And that's the way did I say earmark? I've lost so many words. Like, this is over the course of this launch, I'm just talking nonsense. So I apologize for that. In any case, it's also how I do my fitness workshops, my strength workshops that I do around the country. Like, I cap it based on how many coaches I'm going to have. And if I know that if I want to have 30 people, then I make sure then I have at least two co-coaches.
Awesome. So we have a bunch of questions about different types of populations. And I think that a bunch of people had similar questions. We had a couple from women asking about like pre-pregnancy, also during pregnancy and after, different types of training or things that they should kind of look out for, or movements, et cetera, to either avoid or include. Can you talk about that a little bit?
My best recommendation for both prenatal and postpartum exercise is go to Jessie Mundell's website. It's JessieMundell.com. This is her entire specialty, is training women who are pregnant or who were pregnant. And she talks a lot about how the goal is to reprogram the pelvic floor and the abdominal muscles. The general consensus, if when you're pregnant, or I shouldn't say the general, but like the newer consensus, is you can continue doing what you have been doing. It's not a great time to launch into like a brand new high intensity program, but you can continue on with what you've been doing. That's my understanding of the research that's out there right now. Once you're postpartum, the goal is to reprogram the pelvic floor and the abs, to reteach breathing. And I got this really great drill. Shoot, who did I get this one from? I think this one was from Anne Wendell, who's a physical therapist and covers a lot of this stuff too. I'm sure you know Anne. But push out like you're going to pee when you inhale, which seems backwards. So you're going to push out like you're going to pee on the inhale, and then draw up like you're stopping your flow on the exhale.
Everybody's trying to do that in their car right now. I was trying to do it.
I'm trying to do it right now while I'm talking to you. But it's really good for SI joint pain. It's good for solving pelvic floor problems. The problem is, however, that everybody is a little bit different, and it depends on if you've got, and I can never say this term. Is it diastasis recti? Diastasis recti. How do you say that?
I don't know. I'm not an anatomy.
I'm going to call it DR from here on out. Okay. It's when your abs split though. It's when your abs like, tear apart.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Separation. What's good in those situations, if that's happened with you, is like really low level dead bug exercises, side planks, Pavlov presses.
Do you say dead bug?
Yeah, dead bugs. So you're on the ground. I have dead bugs in a lot of my circuits too for Lift Weights Faster. You're lying on your back. Both your arms and your legs are pointed toward the ceiling. And then very slowly, you're going to lower, keeping your arms and legs straight, you're going to lower your opposite arm, opposite leg toward the floor, only as far as you can without your lower back popping up. I would say, like, pretend you are very thirsty and you've got to make wine. And so you're going to crush grapes under your low back. So, and then you're going to alternate. So you bring them back up to point the arms and legs both facing the ceiling again, and then alternate opposite arm, opposite leg, only as far to lower toward the ground, only as far as you can without your low back popping up. So it's a lot about like sort of reconnecting all the muscles to in the core to work together again. So yeah, dead bugs, side planks, Pavlov presses, and then again, carry exercises. Carries are great. Farmer carry, rack carry, waiter carry, etc. some exercises that Jesse says to avoid, if this has occurred to you, the DR, anything on all fours, front loaded planks, or any supine crunching or flexion movements like sit-ups and that kind of thing.
Awesome. So this kind of ties back also to what we were talking about with the post-adrenal fatigue mm-hmm. movement. But when I was talking about my trainer, the reason why he had that experience of, you know, how to sort of work with me when I really couldn't do the whole workout thing is that he was trained as a Czech practitioner. And I think that there are Czech practitioners around the country. They're definitely easier to find in California because mm-hmm. their certification, you know, headquarters is in San Diego or that area. There are a lot of them overseas as well. I know in the London area, he's pretty popular, but Paul Czech is super knowledgeable on all of this stuff too when it comes to any corrective movement and part mm-hmm. of the whole postpartum thing, you know, correcting any of the pelvic floor issues and all of that. I know every Czech trainer I've worked with, two or three different ones, and when I've lived in different places, and they all do this, the same kind of thing like you're talking about, where it's really just slow, controlled movements and just getting your muscles to work the right way again. And I think we have so many listeners to the show who are into CrossFit, and I think understanding that there's so much more to fitness than just going hard, like getting your body working and moving right and working in balance, or just correcting those imbalances before you build more strength, is always a good idea. So I always want to encourage people to find somebody, you know, really experienced trainer who can help you do a lot of corrective work before you go to do really intense stuff, especially if you have injuries or if you are postpartum. I just think that that's a really good time to look into it. And I know that a lot of, you know, we affectionately call them Czechies. A lot of Czechies definitely specialize in that type of work. And so they're ready to have you come in. I mean, you'll be sore the next day and your body will change, but you won't be dripping sweat and panting and you won't even know what happened. I mean, some of the work I did with Dave, exactly what you were saying, he would put this little bladder thing behind my back, like an air bladder, and have me do different movements and be like, the pressure you're putting on that bladder can't change. So yep. I had to maintain my lumbar curve or flat, however it was, I had to maintain it. So that was just like all of the work was happening in my core, all over every different little abdominal muscle that's in there was doing the work, and my arms and legs were moving. And it's cool stuff. And the next day I was like, oh my God, I feel like I did 4,000 crunches, but I was barely moving. It was like a laying down workout. I was like, exactly. Great. I just laid down and I'm really sore.
Exactly. And so that brings up a good point. This isn't that sort of like pelvic floor health situation isn't just limited to expecting mothers or mothers. Like a lot of women, like there's this thing where it's like, I pee when I jump and it's not normal. Like I asked again, Ann Wendell to write a blog for me, a guest blog for me. It's called Curing a Case of the Workout Pees. I believe it's one of my, it's one of my most popular blog posts because it's such a common condition. Now she says common doesn't mean normal. And so she's another really good resource on pelvic floor health, as is Katie Bowman. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we've interviewed her on the show at least once.
She's so good. She's so good. Like I ordered her DVD Down There for Women, which is a fun package to get in the mail.
An awesome title.
I know. I like it.
All right. So I think we've just got a couple more. Another specific population that we have folks asking about training for teens. Like, is there something different they should do? And then someone was asking, is there a viable market for coaching teens? I don't know if maybe they're a trainer who wants to specialize in coaching teens, but what are your thoughts on training and coaching for teens?
As for whether there's a market for coaching teens, that largely depends on if you can get teams with an M, not an N, into your facility, if you've mm-hmm. got that kind of space. Because there are plenty of parents who will shell out the big bucks for making their kid, you know.
Yeah, one-on-one.
Yeah, or even like in a team setting, like want their kids to be like really great athletes, right? And so it's kind of a problem. Like I'm sort of reluctant to even give this advice because a lot of parents take it and run, and then we end up with this sports specificity at too young an age problem. And it's like, no, you want your kid to play every sport. Like you want your if he or she wants to, that is. But that the early specialization is an issue, and it can lead to a lot of injuries in kids. So that's what we don't want with kids and strength training and sports in particular, is like, we don't want early specialization at all. Some of the best athletes, most well-rounded athletes, and most injury-free athletes are the ones who've played the biggest variety of sports when they were growing up. Now, as far as weight training goes, it is not nearly the safety concern that it's made out to be. Everybody's super worried about, you know, growth plates and et cetera, and parents, you know, like really, like they're concerned about adding weight to a movement. But doing that kind of thing, that kind of training can actually prevent injury, especially if you're training for ACL injury prevention and strengthening the muscles for both, you know, jumping and landing and that kind of thing. Solid technique is super critical, though. Like, you want them to learn good form from an early age, and not just like anybody. You want to not just go in and, you know, sling weights around with no training.
Yeah, I've definitely seen, obviously much younger, you know, younger kids are great at all kinds of acrobatic movements, but like to connect their body to a like a barbell or some other weight, like their hand-eye coordination might be, or just kinesthetic awareness. Like they don't, they look totally disconnected. I'm like, I don't know. Their hand is like going in a totally different direction. Their shoulder, and I'm like, what's happening? They just look like jelly, you know?
Oh my. But as they get older, they're so hard to coach.
Yeah, they just seem so like wobbly and wiggly. But then, you know, I remember back in high school, we used to weight train for the soccer team and volleyball. And I'm like, this is where the quads came from yep. the weight room,
yeah,
you know, all the way back from the time I was probably 14 or 15 years old. I mean, that's a long time of weight training. But like, knock on wood, my giant dining room table here, I've never had any major injuries. I mean, I don't play sports that are very dangerous now. But I've done CrossFit for 5 years, and because I'm not a jerk about how I train, like I don't have an ego about it.
You really don't. It's nice.
I don't, thanks. I don't get hurt. And like, again, knock on wood, but if something really hurts or I'm like, this doesn't feel right, I just stop. Like I get pissed off about it because I'm like, oh, I really wanted to snatch today or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But I stop because I'm like, it's not worth doing it today and then not doing it for 6 weeks. I'd rather come back in 3 days and do it when I'm not in whatever this weird random pain is that I'm feeling, yeah. You know, and I'll, you know, get adjusted, or I'll have Scott work on it, or he does, you know, ART on whichever part is actually causing the impingement or whatever is happening, and just not be a jerk about it. And it kind of, it all works out.
Yeah. I'm the same way, but I'm always surprised about how explicit you have to be with that advice to don't do anything that hurts ever. And if it's like, oh, it's kind of this, like it's uncomfortable, or it's, you know, like it's, you know, like that hurt, that's umbrella, that's under the umbrella of it hurts, don't do it. And I'm not talking about like, okay, you're pushing yourself a little bit.
Yeah. Like muscle soreness, you know, you're training, like, yeah, your muscles get tired. For me, it's so sharp. Like, was that?
Yeah.
You know, where did that come from?
Pay attention to that. Don't push through that.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the, back to the teens just for a moment, have you heard of the IYCA it's like IYCA.org.
No.
That's a really good organization for finding resources about training kids. And I had interviewed Brian Grasso, who used to be the CEO of that organization, about this topic. And a very specific thing that he said that I remember is that he transitioned kids from unweighted exercises to weighted exercises at around age 9. Mm-hmm. And not full time. His recommendation was like no more than 20% of the time. But like it's that early. Like it's that, right. It's that not scary for kids to lift weights. And I think that programs like CrossFit Kids are sort of showing the way on that too. And I think that they're doing a lot of positive work in that area.
Yeah. And I've definitely seen teams, TEAMS, as you said, training. I think there have been a couple of different types of teams who've come into our gym, and I've definitely seen that something, you know, that's happening more often. And I could see that as having been something that, you know, when I was in high school, if, you know, we did any auxiliary training, to be able to do that kind of cross-functional training from soccer, from volleyball, so you're not just doing, you know, the same sport all the time, you kind of get a different type of fitness. So I think, we had a lot more questions, but I don't want to take up too much more of your time. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Do you have time for like two more questions?
Oh my gosh, let's do it.
Okay. And then I'm just going to throw this out there. We have a bunch of questions about nutrition on here and sports nutrition. And I covered that actually. We're going to talk about Lift Weights Faster too. I actually covered a lot about the questions that y'all are asking in the accompaniment, the nutrition portion of Lift Weights Faster, the original program, which I think you can get to if you are getting Lift Weights Faster 2. And eventually you'll be able to get Eat Better Faster on its own from me, but I don't know when that's going to happen. So y'all can keep asking. And I just, whenever we finish other things, we get to the other things. Yes. So it's been on the burner for a long time.
I have bad news for your readers. And that's that Eat Better Faster. Like we're hoarding that for right now. So they're all lined up now waiting for you to release it.
Oh, so now everybody's waiting. Okay. Yep. So,
But it's such good stuff, you guys. You need to pick it up when Diane releases it again.
The only thing that you'll be able to get, well, we'll talk about it later. So let me get to these last couple questions here. Okay. There was one that was about, let's see, I think it was about going back to kind of the special populations about type 1 diabetics. Someone who has asked a bunch of different people their thoughts on, you know, how to train if they're having some different blood sugar issues. And I think her question was specifically the effects of like high intensity interval training, HIIT training, or CrossFit on blood sugar, and what to do, you know, if it's high or if it's low or whatever. So do you have some experience with that, or is there a resource that you like to point people to on that?
Well, with anybody who's coming in with any sort of pre-existing conditions, I like to have a conversation with them about how best to manage them. And oftentimes that means at working with them and with their healthcare practitioners' recommendations to find the best strategy, you know, for them, specific to them. Like, we like to take a very individualized approach, even though at Movement Minneapolis we do group training. We still want people to do what's best for them, what's best for their bodies, and we'll very often go off plan, even if it's in a group class setting. And that, like I said earlier, if that means that somebody needs to take it easier that day, that's exactly what we'll do.
Pete's Paleo is a friend of the Balanced Bites podcast. Their bacon is insanely delicious and sugar-free, and their pre-made paleo meals make your life so much easier when everything's getting busy and getting real food on the table is still a top priority, as it should be. Pete's Paleo is now offering a 30-day gut healing kit containing bone broth, gelatin gummies, instant organic soup packs, and an e-cookbook. It's a perfect complement to any anti-inflammatory diet. Get yours today at guthealingkit.com. Use code GRABACUPOFBROTH to get $25 off. That's an amazing deal. It's GRABACUPOFBROTH, C-U-P-P-A. And you can grab that code anytime at balancedbites.com to just read it and make sure you're typing it in right. You can also use code BALANCEDBITES to get $5 off of any of their regular meal plans. Check out PetesPaleo.com today. Pete's Paleo, bringing fine dining to your cave. I'm of the mindset where, you know how your fitness routine is affecting your blood sugar. I mean, even if you let your trainer know that some days it's going to need to vary and you just give them the heads up, you have to manage that. Like, there is so much self-reliance when it comes to all of this and self-responsibility, because I think, you know, it happens with nutrition too, where it's like, I can tell you what to eat, but like, if you're still hungry, you need to eat more than that, you know? And if your blood sugar is going crazy and your trainer was trying to help you and it's just not working, like, you still need to have that personal responsibility and take control of what's happening with your workout. And I think, you know, a lot of us, we like to put that responsibility in the hands of our coach or trainer. And I think that a lot of what happens, same thing happens with nutrition, is that when we shift most of that responsibility to somebody else, we also shift a lot of the power there. And so if something doesn't go right, it's like, we're not to blame. And so I think it's really important to own your part in that, because if something's not going how you want or expect, you have to own your part in it. I mean, we're all responsible for the way that we move, we're responsible for what we eat, we're responsible for all of that stuff. Even if we're in a class, even if we're following somebody else's nutrition plan, like, we still have to make choices for ourselves within that. So I think that that's a really important piece to it.
Yeah, let's see. I agree completely.
Let's see what else we have here. Oh, this last question is totally, it's kind of random, but I liked it. And I think it was, we both had it on a list here of ones we wanted to try and cover. So I don't remember what her name was here, but she wanted to know your thoughts on fat burners. I think she means supplements, maybe CLA, things like that. Any knowledge or expertise you have on that? She said, I know a lot of personal trainers recommend using them along with a lot of other supplements. What are your thoughts?
So I get this question a lot. People want to know, like, they'll send me, like, it'll be like, I'll make up some names, like Afterburn Effect X Extreme, you know, and it's like that kind of cheesy fat burner. And for me, it's just a no way. I got asked this enough that over the years that I was like, I'm going to try these out and see how it does and like learn by doing. And for me, it messed up my sleep so significantly. And it, you know, they can also make you feel dependent and jittery, like even if you're taking them in the morning. And so I don't know, but for me, it's like good sleep is so much, it's going to make so much more of a difference in your training than any sort of supplement ever could. Like you got to move the big rocks. Like don't worry so much about the fat burners. And that's not a big rock. Like eat well, train well, sleep well, chill well.
I love that. I think actually, I think the sleep well portion of it is so big. And, you know, I'm doing some experimenting on myself lately with taking my basal body temperature, like mm-hmm. for the opposite fertility planning stuff. Like most women take their temperature because they want to see when they can get pregnant. And I'm like, I don't want to have kids. It's just not in my plans. But I find it really fascinating. And what I'm finding is on the days where I don't get as much sleep or not as good of quality of sleep, it's lower. And on days where I have better sleep, it's higher. And what that means is my metabolism's higher if I have better sleep. So that means you're naturally burning fat better. If you have more sleep, that's better. Or I mean, that's what's working for me at least. So
super interesting.
It's
super interesting.
It is interesting. And for me, like that's about as far as I'll go with biohacking. I'm like, that's about enough. Yeah, interesting stuff. So, all right. So why don't you tell people about Lift Weights Faster 2, because of course we're excited about that, and tell folks all about it and all the details on that. Cause it actually is launching this week, is actually the official launch week. So people just have a couple of days to get in on your special deal.
This John is launching tomorrow. I can't believe it's already here. It is a 180 workout collection that gets you into this anaerobic state that we've been talking about, like high intensity state, so that you burn fat, build muscle, and even help build mobility to build this strong, balanced body. And I'm very much into, so somebody asked, I get this a lot, but people are like, is it the same as CrossFit? And there is a lot of crossover. Like I like, it's circuit training though. And neither CrossFit nor I invented circuit training. It's circuit training and sprinting, I should say. But the difference between Lift Weights Faster and most CrossFit facilities that I've been to is that I involve a lot more planes of motion. Like we're not just going to do sagittal or forward and backward plane movements. There's a lot of rotation, anti-rotation, and frontal plane movements in the program. They're all, every single workout, all 180 of them are brand new. They haven't been published anywhere before. They're all quick, to the point, and they're really, really fun. They can be added to finishers. At the end of more traditional strength workouts. So you can combine it, you know, with your traditional strength program, or you can do them on their own. Like you can create a standalone program, or we've also offered no assembly required, which comes with four different calendars so that everything is plotted out for you if you don't want to pick them yourself. Every single workout is organized by six categories of equipment. And those categories are body weight, minimal equipment, dumbbell, kettlebell, barbell, and full gym, which means that at least half of them you can take and do almost anywhere, which is really good for a lot of people who travel a lot. We've also categorized it by your experience level this year. This is new from Lift Weights Faster 1. All the workouts are different, by the way, from Lift Weights Faster 1 to Lift Weights Faster 2. But now we've also categorized them by experience level, beginner, intermediate, or advanced. And then as before, we've categorized them also by the amount of time you have, from under 10 minutes, under 20 minutes, to under 30 minutes. And none of them are any longer than that. We're all about the quick workout.
Ooh, I love it.
Also, it's 181 workouts. I lied. Not 180. Over, I don't want to forget the last one. Yeah, there we go.
That's awesome. So I know if people are on my emailing list, they already got a little note about about the previews. I know there were a bunch of video previews that people had, and I don't know if they'll be able to get that by the time that this airs. It'll be Thursday. So you'll have, I think today and tomorrow, you said by the end of Friday, the kind of early bird price will go away, but people can definitely still check out Lift Weights Faster too. Just liftweightsfaster.com, or actually we'll have a link to it right from the show notes. So I think we'll probably have a special bonus for people who order it from my link. I will probably be able to give you guys the bonus guide that I threw in with Eat Better Faster. Was called Cook Meals Faster. It was a whole bunch of just my best tips on how to get food on the table faster, pun intended.
People went wild for that. They loved it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I actually had a really good time writing it because I hadn't ever just sat down to put it all in one place. Mm-hmm. And you forced me to do that. And I did write out a whole sort of sports nutrition program in Eat Better Faster, which I know when I do get that out, I know people are excited about it, but kind of how to time your meals. And I know people love that too, just getting some kind of idea around it. Because again, you know, we do this stuff. It's stuff that I do naturally. I don't really think about it when I work out and I eat certain things before and certain things after, and it's intuitive for me at this point, but I know a lot of people just aren't there yet, or they've never thought about it or haven't figured it out. So I will get that out to people eventually, but I'm really excited. I know Lift Weights Faster was amazing, and people, you know, they love it. They love being able to add it to, like, if you do CrossFit, I know this was a question we had last time, you know, can you add this into the mix? Like, of course, if you're traveling, or if you just don't feel like going to CrossFit that day, you want to do something at home, or if you want, if you have another gym membership, I don't know if you're one of the crazy ones who was like me, where when I lived in San Francisco, I had like 3 gym memberships because
been there. Yep.
It's just, I don't know. We do that, right?
Because variety is yay.
See? So, you know, if you just want to mix it up, and I'm definitely going to be tapping into some of those workouts because I'm mixing it up myself. I'm working with a coach one-on-one a couple of days a week, but I'm also taking myself to the gym probably 3 or 4 days a week. And I am going to be grabbing some of those workouts because I can walk in there any given day and just make it up. But there are some days where I'm so brain dead. I'm like, now I'm here. Now, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And so having all that stuff available at your fingertips. And once you're, it's a whole membership site, right? So once you're logged in, you can grab the workouts and just kind of pop it on your phone and be able to do it right from wherever you are, right?
Yep. Amazing. I've got mine saved on iBooks.
Oh, awesome.
And this is, I mean, like, I hear what you're saying about the brain dead thing. Like, I take Lift Weights Faster with me when I go places so that I can go to a hotel gym and pull up Lift Weights Faster workouts and not have to make them up from scratch. The other thing that I didn't mention is that the exercise library is huge. It's like 270 exercises. It's learning how to do 270 different exercises. Like the written descriptions and like photo demonstrations, like we get feedback on that all the time, which is not something I anticipated before the launch of the first one. But people are like, I would buy just that.
Well, I was in the gym this morning trying to do like a kettlebell windmill thing.
Yeah.
I call it, because I'm like, I don't know what I was doing. But I moved my body in that way without the kettlebell first. So I was like, let me see if this even works to actually move this way and hold my arm up there, what I think I'm supposed to do. But I have no idea if I was doing it right. I just took a really light kettlebell. I'm like, let me just do a few of these to get a feel for it. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, I really need to see if I'm doing this right.
Well, funny you should. I mean, like, I've got the video tutorial on windmills, and as part of my video e-course, if people listening sign up for the video e-course, which is free, and then you get a bunch of other bonus workouts, if you just go to liftweightsfaster.com right now, then there is a tutorial on windmill training right now.
Oh, awesome. And I think anybody who was on my emailing list, if you got my email on Sunday, I think I linked to it from there. So there's a whole picture of Jen in my email and all kinds of fun stuff. Cool. Well, been really fun having you back again. And so you're going to be in Austin, right?
I'm going to be in Austin, and we are going to hug so hard. It's going to be great.
I know. It's just like, it's so crazy when you're internet friends for so long and then you meet and then it's like, hi.
I know, but it confirms everything that you already know about that person. You're like, this person is awesome. Like, I have no doubt that, like, we're going to click instantly. So I can't wait.
I'm totally the same. I'm really, like, not that interesting or exciting in person. But if I talk shop, then I'm good. But
you always say that, and I never believe you. So.
It's really true. We would do some kind of giveaways. People, you know, we ask them what they want, and they're like, I want to hang out with you for the day. I'm like, you guys, I really am not that interesting. Like, I basically eat and work all day and then I go to the gym. It's like really not that exciting.
But see, that sounds like a nice day to me.
If it's in San Francisco, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You love San Francisco, don't you?
I do. And I love that a huge portion of my team like spotted you at a coffee shop in San Jose.
That was a magical moment. I loved it.
I thought that was amazing. And then so if people have been following either or both of us on Instagram, I ran into a member of your team. Here in New York at Hugh Kitchen. And I was like, I'm so glad that just happened. It made me feel better after my team being like, I think that's Jen Sinclair. Like, how can somebody think it's you? You're pretty identifiable. Like, I guess if you'd been in Minnesota at the time, it would have been like the context was right, whatever. Right. But I mean, you probably had like pink pants on and your cute hair. And
I was dressed pretty brightly that day, per usual. And the Cardigan Mark knew you from a mile away too, but he wouldn't approach you. That's why I had to text you to get you to approach him, because he's shy.
I don't think he was wearing a cardigan. I don't remember.
I know. It's hard to recognize him when he's
but
not.
But I couldn't tell how he recognized me. I was like, I don't have like, oh, I had nothing about what I was wearing was like interesting. Like maybe he heard my voice or I don't know what it was.
No, you've got the good hair and the big smile and like really perfect eyeliner. I mean, I think
that's crazy. Okay, maybe it was that. All right.
I mean, yeah, come on.
All right.
Oh, Cardigan Mark just walked in. We're talking about you. Okay.
I'm not shy. So I was like looking across. I was like, Mark. He didn't turn his head. And I had to go up to him and like tap him on the shoulder and take a selfie. Oh, those are the days.
Hey, everyone. Liz checking in with the Baby Making Beyond tip of the week. Here with my BMB partner, Meg Reburn. Meg the midwife.
Hello.
And last week we talked about avoiding a very common exercise pattern. Today's tip is about foods for postpartum healing and milk production. This is totally Meg's area of expertise. This is a big topic we tackle in BMB, and we'll give a few key tips to you right now. Just remember, we're not doctors, nor are we giving medical advice or offering diagnoses or treatment. This is just information that you can take to clear with your healthcare provider. So this is actually part of a question that came through the Balanced Bites podcast queue recently, and Meg and I thought it would be perfect for our tips. And the question is from Alexis. Hi, ladies. Longtime listener. Love the new format. I'll keep it short and sweet. I'm due with my first kiddo in March, and since the U.S. has such an awesome maternity leave policy, I'll have to get right back to work after 8 weeks if she comes naturally or 10 weeks if I have to get a C-section. My question is, what foods are best to help promote postpartum healing and milk production? I hear a lot of horror stories about postpartum recovery, and I want to try and be as prepared as possible. Thanks so much.
Man, I couldn't imagine going back to work in 8 or 10 weeks. But
so what's it like in Canada? What do they let you do?
In Canada, we have usually a year. Yeah, a year for postpartum mat leave.
That's beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing. We're pretty blessed that way. But, you know, if you have to get back to work right away, so things that can help with healing. First is managing your stress. That would be the number one thing. Don't stress out about it. It'll just happen if you create the space for it to happen. Foods that can help with postpartum healing. Big ones are vitamin C, so vitamin C-rich foods. So things like citrus, cauliflower, bell peppers, dark leafy greens, all that stuff. Turmeric, taken as a fresh root, which is actually not too hard to track down. Mm-hmm. It's a bright orange root. You just grate it up and you can put it in soups, curries. I really like it grated and scrambled into eggs. It's actually quite delicious that way.
Probably adds some pretty color too.
It does add pretty color. It will stain your fingers though, but
it looks a little bit like ginger root. It's usually ripe by the ginger.
It looks a lot like ginger until you cut into it, and then it's bright orange and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It actually goes really well with ginger. So if you happen to pick up some ginger while you're there, even better. Bone broth would be one of the best things you can do for postpartum. I have had a lot of Chinese clients over the years who swear by chicken broth. It's a traditional Chinese remedy for postpartum. You basically, just make bone broth and try to get as gelatinous as possible. There's lots of recipes out there. I'm sure you could give some tips as well, Liz, as to how to make good bone broth, but that's a whole other can of sardines to open up.
But basically the animal protein aids in the tissue repair. And just, you know, overall sugar reduction also can aid in tissue regeneration and repair. So just kind of don't go crazy with the birthday cake.
And that doesn't mean low carb, right?
No, that doesn't mean low carb. That just means, you know, sugar reduction. So, you know, natural sugars, lots of carbs are totally fine and will actually help your sleep and will help your milk production. But sugars. So I'm talking about, you know, your paleo treats, your paleo cakes and cupcakes, which are fine to have when the baby comes in celebration, but really try to limit it for good tissue repair. And then things that can help with milk production, if you really want to ramp up your milk, you can take fenugreek capsules. We'll have that in Baby Making and Beyond and how to take it and just how much. Water, lots and lots and lots of water. You have to stay hydrated when you are breastfeeding. Most of the time, your thirst will take care of that. But if it doesn't, just make sure you're drinking tons. And then finally, really easy to digest warm foods. So keeping in warmth, that's another Chinese medicine trick, is to have warm foods. So cooked foods like fennel, carrot, beets, yams, again, dark leafy greens, lots of fats. Spirulina actually can help increase your milk supply, as well as having adequate carbohydrates. That's another big thing. Don't cut your carbs in an attempt to lose weight postpartum. Keep eating those good carbs from things like yams and starchy squashes. Gluten-free oats are also a traditional galactagogue, which means can help increase your milk production too. So if you choose to do that, that is, that might help as well.
What is this I've heard about beer being effective in increasing milk production? Is it the hops? What is it?
It's the hops. It's the hops. I mean, yeah, that's a traditional Irish thing. They would just have Guinness, but it's essentially the hops. It works kind of like the oats. If you're going to do the oats, you want to make sure that they're well soaked. And yeah, if you want to do a beer, it's a totally reasonable thing to do. We talk about alcohol consumption a lot in Baby Making Beyond. We have a whole section for that. So you'll learn how to do it safely. But yeah, if you want to have a beer, go for it. Have a beer. But if you're gluten intolerant, don't have a beer then. Skip that, because that'll just create stress.
Oh, man. I like it. And I have to read the rest of Alexis's question, because I thought it was kind of funny. She says, real talk, pregnancy can make you super gross. There are more fluids coming out of my body than I even know what to do with. Plus, I was graced with the ability to smell everything within a 10-mile radius of me. 12 weeks in, I flew from San Diego to DC, and there was someone on my flight who was eating salami, and I almost lost my you-know-what. But then remembered I didn't look pregnant yet, so I couldn't get away with being super hormonal without repercussions. Super smell is the worst superpower ever. This whole miracle of life thing is for the birds, but I hear the payoff is totally worth it. It's totally worth it.
Yeah, they're pretty cute.
No. All right, that's it for our BMB tip of the week. Miss everybody, head over to babymakingandbeyond.com to sign up for program alerts, and Meg and I will talk to you again next time.
Talk to you next week.
That's it for this week. You can find Jen at jensinkler.com. You can get lots more details. Just grab the show notes for this episode. We're in episode 182. Hop over to balancebites.com. You can get the show notes for that. You can find my usual co-host, Liz, at realfoodliz.com. You can find all kinds of goodies from me at dianesanfilippo.com. And join our email list for free goodies and updates you don't find anywhere else on our websites or on the podcast. And while you're on the internet, leave us a review in iTunes. And don't forget to resubscribe in the next couple of weeks so you can stay updated when we switch the hosting. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Thanks again for having me.